Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you could make it this morning. We brought you all here today, and I must apologize for the delays. A lot of people in the audience using Wi-Fi, and we couldn't get a clear connection. I'm going to go ahead and ask everybody in the audience to go ahead and turn off those Wi-Fi devices. I'll give you 30 seconds. Everybody, go ahead and just put that away. Everyone, phones off. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the Mega 64 keynote, and I don't need to tell you what an amazing year it's been. I'm going to go ahead and play the theme song in a moment, but I'd like to remind everybody of how funny Mega 64 has been all these 10 years. In fact, none of our competitors could even come close. In fact, this theme song will show you the perfect example of four funny men and a whole lot of hot dogs. I think you're going to really enjoy this. Go ahead and play the clip. Pixar made this for us.
I'm a lonely horseman, got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides a lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be a lonely horseman.
I saw a man using his phone out in the parking lot. Can we get security to please seize him? Thank you. Is that Joel? Fucking arrest him. Thank you, everybody, and welcome back. The Mega 64 keynote is here, and we've got a lot of exciting announcements. I think you're going to have a blast with these announcements. Ladies and gentlemen at home, as you've heard, our quarter has been strong, and no other internet group has even had this sheer half of the amount of laughs that we have had. Records show that Brenel Floss has had a record-breaking low, only one laugh in the past 3 months. And in fact, Rooster Teeth has only been able to conjure up 3,000 laughs compared to 10,000 last semester. Yes, they're in school. Comedy school, and we're teaching everybody at the head of the class straight A's. I'd like to start this announcement with congratulations to Smosh, to the only group second to Mega 64 that even came close. Over 2 million laughs from Smosh.com. Is that .com? That's a .com. As you can hear, we have a live orchestra led by Bono is in the audience today to bring you audio unlike you've ever heard. Just like Mega 64's videos. Audio quality clearer than the ear can hear. Mega 64 has had over 10 million laughs in the past 365 days, and you don't need to tell anyone that's far above the competition. This morning, before our investors meeting, I took a shit and I smelled the competition. We have a ton of announcements for you tonight, but first I'd like to thank our sponsor, LootCrate.com. Go to LootCrate.com/Mega64 and sign up for their amazing service. Every month you'll get one box. I think you're really going to love this. One box of random items that you don't know what they are. It's random to everybody, okay? Not even I know. Go ahead and subscribe, LootCrate.com/Mega64, and enter keyword Mega64 to get this amazing offer. And you're going to get a discount from us, and that's from us to you. I think you're really going to enjoy this. It's just a blast to use. Thank you to our sponsor, shop.mega64.com. Our merchandise division has been killing it quarter after quarter, and you don't even need to hear it from me. The merch site of Rooster Teeth and of ESPN.com sold shit last year. Not one item sold, but shop.mega64.com sells items by the hundreds every day. And I want to thank our merchandise division, Mr. Chatfield. Now, we let him be a guest in the audience today. Mr. Chatfield, thank you again. And we just want to say thank you again for amazing merchandise quarter and the semester and the division and the League of Gentlemen.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Cut. Sorry. Cut to me. Now, no further ado, I think what we're all here for the same reason. and I think you're going to have a blast with this. It's just a blast to use. We are planning to attend PAX East in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, this is going to be one hell of a convention. You don't need to hear it from me or take my word for it or take anyone's. We have many things to announce from the show. Exclusive merchandise. I think you're just going to have a blast with it. You're going to really love this. First up, he designs many shirts, and he's prolific, and he's artistic, and he's splendorous. Rocco Bodie. We're talking the founder of Mega 64. Give a round of applause for him. Give a round of applause for him. And he's just been bringing us so many great designs and user interfaces. It's just been a blast to work with him. I think you're really going to like this. He has a new shirt design. We're debuting first at PAX East before anybody else, not even the people online. Jonathan, check the website. They can't get them. They can't get them anywhere except at the PAX East booth. It's going to be there first, and I'd like to debut it here. I think you're really going to enjoy this. It's going to be a blast to wear. This is a design by Daniel Dusson entitled The Onslaught Shirt. This will be sold for the first time at PAX East 2014, and it's going to be a hot seller. We don't expect these to last, and I think you're just it's going to be a blast to wear. I think you're really going to enjoy this. Thank you for the Onslaught shirt, Daniel Dusson. You may remember his designs. He designed some shirts for Mishka. What's that?
They're seeing it right now. We're all seeing it.
They're seeing it. I don't need the peanut gallery to talk from the audience. You are an invited guest, and I will revoke your press pass if you talk out of line again. Thank you very much. Thank you. This is a great design, and it's amazing. It's going to be just amazing. And if you've seen his designs, Mishka NYC, he did a Power Rangers design, and he does a lot of great things. It's just a blast to wear, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. So our next design comes to us from another amazing artist. Again, we invited him from our merchandise division, and he's in the audience today. I want to invite Mr. Sean Chatfield to speak for a moment on his design, and it's coming to PAX East. First at PAX East before anywhere else. Did you want to say a few words on that?
Yeah, should I say it from here or should I go to the stage?
Stay in the audience, okay. Please. Do not come onto the stage. This is my stage.
Okay. I've been working on a shirt. I contacted our friend Jason Cryer, who designs amazing shirts, and I said, Jason, Rocco's shirt's going to be out of control. It's nuts. The Onslaught shirt. I want something simple, yet elegant and classy. I want it beautiful. He gave me this shirt. I present to you. I just came up with this title, the name. Maybe it's not 100% confirmed yet. We don't have to announce it. Yes, it is. We have the Digital Surfer shirt. Name sucks.
Name is not good.
The name is really good. The shirt is beautiful.
I'm very
Jason
sorry.
Jason Cryer, he knocked out of the park.
I'm very sorry for this.
What would you call
some
it?
Some people
what would
are.
You call it?
I would call it. Spoodle doodle.
Viral shirt.
Viral shirt.
The viral shirt. It is now known as the viral shirt.
It's a.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks
oh,
too.
Fuck. It is going to be on the same nice material that the sick shirt was on, so get ready for that.
That is a very nice shirt.
Get ready
shirt.
To wear a cloud, people.
That is
that
a very cloud. Nice shirt. Revoke his press pass next time. I don't want him coming back. Because now there's more than one design. It should have been hit. It should have been mine. Do you understand me? Yeah? Oh, we're live? Hello. Thank you for that. And I'm sure the Digital Surfer shirt is just going to be a blast to wear. I think you're really going to enjoy this. But there is another shirt. It doesn't stop there. We have one shirt that will only be for sale at conventions and only PAX East and not online at any point ever. Only attendees of PAX East are going to get to enjoy this, and it's going to be a blast to wear. I think you're really going to enjoy this. This is a design, an exclusive, a variant. Some of you remember our Sexy 64 Elite shirt. Well, I'm here to tell you that we are now announcing available next week, Friday, April, in Massachusetts, Boston, the Internet Soldiers Elite shirt. Now, that's in a black color, and it's on a soft, very soft type of shirt. I think you're really going to enjoy wearing this. I think you're really going to enjoy wearing this. And you're only going to be able to get that at conventions. It will not be available online, so if you think you can click it, You're not. And just drop that right now. Thank you. The Elite shirt will be available at the booth. And I want to say thank you to everyone for enjoying our announcements and listening to everything I have to say. It's been a great year at Mega 64, and I want to thank you all for supporting us yet again. The laughs keep on coming, and I want to say rest in peace to my dear friend Ray William Johnson, who fell by the comedy wayside, and we happily took the throne. Thank you, one and all. It's been a great day, and but there's one more thing. There's one more thing. There's one more thing. Don't show him. If you cut to him one more fucking time, it's on me. There's one more announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one more exclusive, and it's only going to be at PAX East. I hope you PAX East attendees watch this and enjoy this. I think you're really going to have a blast. With every item sold at PAX East over a certain amount, you will be getting one of six rare Kutaragi's Way lobby card prints. Now, these are 8x10s. These are glossy, and they are rare. Only available at our PAX East booth can you get one of six in this series with every item purchased. I think you're really going to enjoy these. They're going to be a blast to look at. Kutaragi's Way lobby cards. I hope you like them. I know the designers here at Mega 64 had a great time designing them. And I think if you collect all six, you'll probably have spent a lot of money in our booth. And I appreciate that. I think you're going to have a blast spending all that money. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will. Anyway, thank you all for attending today. I'm going to leave you with the music of U2. And thank you, one and all. I want to thank Mr. What's your name? Sean? Sean, for attending. And I want to thank my friend here for having a siesta. And I want to thank my other friend. What did you do? I didn't look at you. Cut this. Cut his fucking ass out. End the fucking keynote. Is it cut? Go to the musical performance.
Okay. Shit. We don't have one preparing the theme song.
Just hit the... I heard one earlier. What was the song earlier?
Vocoder or whatever.
What was the song earlier? Let's play that. Just repeat it. There isn't more to the song. That's it?
That's not enough. I got something.
Okay.
That's the same thing.
Same thing. All right, thank you, everybody. Good night.
Theme song.
I'm a lonely horseman. Got my pistol.
We're back. Hope you enjoyed that. Mega 64 keynote has concluded, and so we're just doing kind of a post show here.
Wrap up show.
This is a post keynote wrap up show. I'm curious about a lot of the designs. You know, we thought they were going to show a new like a tablet.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They just showed it was just like shirts.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing.
No firmware upgrades or anything.
No, I thought we were going to get just something. I don't know. It was kind of meh.
Like a functionality between headset, Bluetooth stuff, or nothing, though.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get like 1,000 things. Yeah. Instead, we just got...
I will be there day one by.
Okay. I'll be there.
That's the way of the world. That's the way it works.
That is the way it works. That's how consumers work, apparently.
Shalom.
Are you going to line up at PAX East?
There is no lining up allowed.
Oh.
Lines will be dispersed violently with violence.
So just come by when there's no line.
We've been cleared by the Boston authorities. We can use violence.
Yeah. They did approve that. That's true.
We've been approved.
That's true. So anyway, all of those items are going to be at our PAX East booth. In addition to that, we do have a panel. Don't forget, our panel is Saturday of PAX East at 7 p.m.
What's it called?
It's going to be the Mega 64 panel for True Kinect gamers, and it's going to be in the Dragonfly Theater at 7 p.m. A lot of panels at PAX East are going to be streamed live. Ours will not be streamed live.
That's not an option.
The only option we have is an IRL stream.
What happens?
You see it with your eyes.
What happens if the PAX panel for True Kinect gamers stays at the PAX panel for True Kinect gamers?
That's true.
It's like a Las Vegas type of situation. All the sin and debauchery.
Yep.
Nobody's going to find out about it.
Yeah. It's within our walls.
Yeah. You free pass, go wild.
Is there going to be nudity? We can't say. Who knows?
We don't want your parents to see what you guys are attending.
Yeah, they no parents allowed.
They have the ability to look that stream up online, so we just take it right off.
If you're a parent, you're not allowed in the room.
Please stay home.
No. Sorry, Sean. Kids.
What?
Sorry, you can't come to the panel.
I can't.
No.
What we just said about parents.
I send your kids, please. We'll watch them. We'll take care of them.
Okay, I'm going to bring Sawyer then.
I bet Sawyer would have a great time.
I dare you.
I'd save her a front row seat.
Tickets are already bought, so you're going to have to do some carry-on luggage shit. Yeah. Good luck.
What are you going
to
do?
I want to see this.
PAX is sold out, so you're going to sneak her
in. That'd be great.
You're going to turn her into a criminal?
Yeah.
A little baby criminal. That's so disappointing.
No, that's how to get ahead.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, we're all disappointed.
Anyway, thank you everybody for attending the podcast. And so hopefully we'll see you at PAX East. And we're going to show some secret stuff at our panel. We're going to show some new stuff at our panel. But worry no longer. If you're not going to PAX East, we're putting up a brand new video. If you're watching this Sunday night, we're going to put it up tomorrow. And you're going to be blown away.
That's right.
If you're watching this on Tuesday,
you've already been blown.
You've been blown
and
away.
Yeah.
You're putting some new shit up.
The job is done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have no idea.
Should we say? No, we shouldn't.
Keep it a secret.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
We announced so much at this keynote that we got to save something else for ourselves.
All right. We'll save it for ourselves.
If it's a design thing
at a
keynote, Tim Cook will say, I think you're really going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And if it's a camera or like a new thing you can use, he goes, it's just a blast to use.
Yeah. You hit all those points.
I want to make sure I got both.
People are hashtag.
Rocco really likes those keynotes.
It's trending.
We're trending.
Those key words
we are trending.
In the keynotes.
Yeah, we're trending.
I just want to make sure this isn't like...
Make sure that's good.
It looks good to me.
Do we want to call out the elephant in the room?
What?
Eric's not here.
What?
Eric is not here.
Eric's not here. The stream was late.
Yeah, you may have noticed the stream was late today. That is 100% the fault of Eric Bedour.
100%.
He failed to show up. He has duties that were left unfulfilled tonight. He supplied a bullshit excuse as to why he's not here. He claims WrestleMania is going on, whatever that means. I don't care.
What does that mean?
I don't
Rocky?
Care.
No one right. knows what it means.
What his excuse
I don't know what
is.
That is, but I hate it.
Shove it up your ass, Bedour. Look,
yeah.
You have one job, and that's show up and do all the bitch work for Mega 64.
That's your only job.
It's your only job, okay? A man without a job is pointless.
Wait, but his kind of second job is to enrage the viewers.
Yeah.
To the point
he's not even doing that.
He's not even doing that. He's failing on
Where's
both.
Where's the rage? Our chat is in a good mood right now. What's up
both
with that?
He is a complete failure.
We're all mad back here, though.
Okay.
Everyone back here behind me is real pissed. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good enough.
Okay, Eric, you know, you may be aware, he has his own subpar podcast. Not as good as this one. How could it be as good as this one? First of all, this is the number one video game podcast on the internet.
I think we crashed.
Are we competing?
Do we?
I don't know.
Hey, what a perfect time for us to crash. I was talking about how great
we came back.
Wait.
Italy. Once again, we are live from London.
Number one video game podcast on the internet, okay? And Eric has a responsibility to facilitate this. Okay, everybody has to play their role. The king doesn't dine alone, okay? He has a lot of little servants preparing the food and serving it to him, okay?
It's true.
When the servants aren't here, what does the king eat? Is
true.
The question I pose to Mr. Bedour.
I guess the king stars.
Now, he has his own, quote-unquote, podcast, the Go Home Show.
Yeah.
He should go home with that stupid-ass idea.
He should show himself to the...
It's terrible. And if you watch that, pardon my French, fucking bullshit podcast...
Yeah. You can only listen.
Oh,
see,
what's the point?
We got video.
If you're wasting your time, listen.
Audio only, it's hipster stuff.
Hipster shit, okay? Eric, you're not that fucking cool, all right? Get a camera. There's plenty around here. Thank you.
Get a flip.
If you listen to that, get a fucking flip, you idiot. If you listen to that schlock, you are actively contributing to this podcast failing. And its failure tonight is on your shoulders if you watch that schlock. And if you don't start protesting it, we might be done. So think about that.
Yeah.
Where your allegiance lies.
Think about that. Consider that where you want to be. and know that we're serious and it's on the table. I set the revolver is on the table and there's one bullet. So
Eric,
pull the trigger
Eric
or don't.
Eric is such a hipster. He's like the Portlandia of internet comedy.
Yeah. You would love that show.
Me, personally?
Oh, my God.
Really?
You would love that show. It's got...
I've never been to Oregon.
Well, they do like, jokes.
They okay. do. They're crazy.
They do, like, an Oregon
I'd imagine if everybody in Oregon was Eric Bedore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Something to think about.
That's what Portland
is
all about.
I like to think about that sometimes.
Anyways, welcome back. Brief interruption due to technical difficulties.
Yep.
I'm not going to name any names. Gateway. But your product sucks.
We're not going to say what happened, but it rhymes with Skateway.
Yeah. We're getting Adele, dudes.
Dude, you're getting Adele.
I would kill for Adele. One night in my room. Nobody needs to know, except for Adele. She will never forget.
She's got a pair of lungs on her, man.
But that is neither here nor there. All I'm going to say is I'm sorry, I got Adele on the brain. If Gateway strikes again and their computers fail on us.
Yeah.
That's all, folks. That's all she wrote. This is the last shot in the dark. Will we hit our target? Watch and find out.
Well, listen, everybody, we want to talk about some serious stuff. We want to get into the details here.
All right.
This last week, we put up a documentary. Normally, we put up a skit. Ah! A minute and a half skit. Got a laugh out of me. But not this week. This week, serious documentary came out. Countdown to Kutaragi. Both with K's. Both with K's.
Countdown.
That way you know I edited it. So now it's clear.
Well, I heard that you didn't work alone. See, I have a countdown to Kutaragi conspiracy.
Oh.
Yes, I'm working on my own video about it. KKK coming out.
Pointing
soon.
Out Very certain cool. things within the documentary?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Things that weren't clean.
The Kutaragi.
Unsavory.
The countdown to Kutaragi video as it is now. I really like it. I think you did a wonderful job, Rocco.
Thank you. Thank
Kudos
you
to Rocco. He did work alone.
Oh.
I was joking.
Oh.
I was joking.
I was joking, too.
Nobody
we
else,
all worked on the video.
Nobody
but.
Else helmed that. It was only Rocco, the captain of the ship. He sailed us to clear waters.
I like that long-form behind-the-scenes style.
Yeah. You like
it's, that? That 20 minutes flies by, man.
Cool.
That's cool.
You know, doing documentary work is... easier said than done. Sometimes it's hard to find a story to tell when you just have real life footage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's just my personal opinion, but I think you honestly have a natural talent for it.
Thank you
for doing documentary videos. I think
awesome.
Yeah, the videos you do are really good.
Thank you.
All of them.
This one reminded me of the First 48.
First 48.
What was that again?
It's where
the murder
there's
show?
A murder.
Oh yeah,
and it counts down to the deadline of the 2-day point where
that's
they
just
that's
stressful.
Give
That's
up.
A stressful show.
Wow.
I feel like I've never seen that show where they actually caught the guy. It's always like, well, I've just never seen one. Do they do it often?
I say half the time they catch the guy.
Yeah.
And like,
really?
It's always a guy like breaking down. Like, he thought he'd get away with it.
And he admits
2 days later, he didn't.
He's a dummy.
Yeah. I think he envisioned himself being on the run for like his whole life now.
Yeah.
And then like, bam, caught.
Yeah, that sounds like
he's
a
like,
blast.
I could only do it for 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, all you gotta do is kill somebody. Don't. Come after me. Thank you very much.
Being on the run, man. Oh,
I couldn't do it.
Losing your whole identity.
You know, there's a show like that called... I don't even know if it is still around. Maybe it only had one season. I almost got away with it. And they basically interview these guys in jail, and they tell the craziest fucking stories. They basically find some guy who was on the run for like 5 years, and it's like, what was it like? And he just... talks about all the moments where they almost caught me and didn't, but eventually they did. And you know that's happening, so it's really fascinating.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds
it's
cool.
Basically, every episode is just about who has the biggest balls. That's it. I almost got away with it. It's just like the ballsiest guys on the run. There was one dude who he had a talent for just impersonating different careers. So he was in the military and impersonated being like a 5-star general and did that for like a year and a half.
What?
And then and then he became like a city planner for Los Angeles by pretending to be an architect. Yes,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Brain fart. I know that word. And he actually left the job in Los Angeles when they started looking into, like, who is this guy? What's his background? He faked getting a job proposal from the White House. And L.A. was like, oh, you're moving on to bigger and better things? All right, we don't need to look into him.
He dropped it.
He's not even going to work here next month. He's going on to work for the government. Don't worry about it. And the most impressive thing, all that sounds really impressive, but the one that impressed me the most, he flees and goes to Canada at one point, and he pretends to be a conductor and calls up the local symphony up there and actually conducts an opera.
What? But they got to know he doesn't know what he's doing.
No! He said, he's like, I basically scheduled my concert, and I had 2 weeks to prepare, and I went and I rented every video I could find of symphony footage, and I just studied the maestro, and I just got up there, and I winged it.
Wow.
Yeah, I winged it, and I had the time of my life, and nobody knew, and I was just sitting there being like, this guy has the biggest fucking balls on earth.
Uh-huh.
Well, who does this?
Recently in the news, Obama was giving a speech at Nelson Mandela's funeral.
Uh-huh.
And there was an interpreter doing sign language on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Who was just making it
up.
She
didn't know sign language.
It was a dude.
Yeah, it was a dude.
It was a guy. He was making it up, and they caught him, and he had been busted for doing this, like, years prior at all.
Yeah, but he was doing it for Obama. Right?
Yeah. He was standing 5 feet away from the president.
Bullshitting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And if he was that much of a liar, I mean, he could have been a secret assassin.
How did he do it for that long?
Just because where these events were, there's, like, maybe one or two deaf people in the audience who just don't say anything.
Ha ha.
That's figure.
Anyway.
Crazy.
So, Kutaragi's documentary.
Yeah. That shit.
In making our Kutaragi's Way video, we had more behind the scenes than any other video. We had hours of stuff. And it just seemed like, it just occurred to me, the reason why I edited it in the way that I did was it just occurred to me that just about every year, mostly every year, we do videos for the Game Developers Conference. We will do a video that we work on right up until the day we leave to San Francisco and go there. And then we'll have basically like 24 hours to film the rest of it with a guest and turn it in the next morning. And it's always a down-to-the-wire situation.
That's always how it's been with all our previous guests.
Yeah,
Miyamoto, Kojima.
Yeah, exactly.
Gabe Newell.
Yeah, yes. And so that's happened so many times, but it dawned on me, it was like, we've never really shown that.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've just never, that no one knows that we do that, so I just thought, well, let's show them every step of it until the last second that it's turned in. So I thought that would be fun. And there was something that everyone was saying last week, and I just wanted to clear this up. When I was originally putting it together, I clipped it down to all the, like, usable footage that we had. And normally once I do that, we have, like, 20, 25 minutes of footage. And then I'll edit that to the best 5 minutes. This time we had 2 hours of stuff. But there is no extended version of the Kutaragi's Way thing. Because there are a lot of people who are like, when are we going to see the full thing? But there is no... What you got was it. And if it, the 2 hours was just basically what you saw but not cut together, you know. But normally, again, when you haven't finished the edit, there's, no, you know, again, like 20, 25 minutes of stuff. This time there was 2 hours. So that's what I think it was Sean or somebody brought it up, that there was 2 hours.
It was me.
But that's raw footage, you know. What were we going to say?
No, I was going to say that it was me saying that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about there's some stuff that maybe did make it to the cutting room floor.
Yeah,
we'll probably see the light of day at some point.
Yeah,
somewhere.
There were a few things that were really funny that went on, you know, 10-minute tangents that didn't have to do. We pranked somebody at one point during filming, and it's hilarious.
I remember that,
but it's like 12 minutes long, and it didn't have to do with Kutaragi's Way, so that wasn't left in. And we'll put that out at some point.
Easter eggs, maybe.
You'll see anything worth seeing. You'll see it, but there is no longer version of this particular thing. But anyway, I'm just happy people enjoyed it as long as it was.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because I thought people were going to check out at 22 minutes, but we saw articles written about it on Polygon and Kotaku and Destructoid.
That blows me away.
That blows me for a behind the scenes video. That never happened. So I'm really stoked that so many people enjoyed the story. You know,
so many people are interested in how we make
our
product, which is cool.
And plus, you get to see Kutaragi like trying to act and like learn how to do the stuff
and having fun with it too. Yeah. You know, I mean, he was like really enjoying the time he got to spend.
And you get to see the origin of the famous wink that has gone on to have a life of its own.
Which, afterthought on Sean's part.
Man, I'm glad I said that.
You ever think that wink would become so popular?
What's that?
You ever think that wink would become so popular?
No. But I'm really glad I suggested it.
See, yeah. You see it in the behind the scenes. Sean throws that in as, I mean, they're about to leave. Yeah,
well,
and Sean goes,
him.
Yeah,
do you want to wait? Second guessing myself, like, is that dumb? I don't know, should we have him do it? Like, it's like such an afterthought. Yeah.
But that's how, I think that's cool that you get to see that in this little documentary. You get to see how shit just gets thrown up in the air and sometimes it sticks to the wall like that. And,
yeah.
And that's how, I think we work our best in that type of environment. And I think we've had a lot of practice from years ago when we did that 48-hour film festival.
Yeah.
We've kind of learned that was probably our first instance of that, like, stressful cramming, get it done. But now we've done it every year with GDC, and I think we all kind of really enjoy that.
Yeah.
That pressure to get it done quickly.
Yeah.
And we're good at working fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're very fast.
That's probably our best. I really realize after so many years, like, there's things we do great and things we don't. You know, whatever. Everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses. I think our strongest attribute is the speed. I know. I think there's a lot of people that couldn't pull some of the things that people don't even know about that we did, like that.
Yeah.
And would never know, you know, even beyond just this Kutaragi video. I think there's some stuff we could do faster than most people. But anyway.
Oh yeah, we're fast.
Oh, we're fast. We're fast.
You guys believe it?
We're fast.
Like in and out.
Two different fast foods.
Yeah. In and out and
Song. True. Whoa.
Whoa.
Who's faster?
I'm going to say
Sonic, because they have less clientele to serve.
And he only eats chili dogs.
Well, they have to go to your car, though. You just park.
Do they serve chili dogs?
If you order a drink, they, like, you know, take about 3 minutes to make it nice. If you order food, they just poop on your plate and then...
Takes a while to squeeze it out.
Yeah, but that, once it's done, they just serve it to you.
Yeah, takes a while to pinch.
Poop.
Yeah,
poop.
Sonic literally serves fecal matter
on their plate
and tries to pass it as food.
No kidding.
What's going to be next on the Sonic menu? I'm afraid to ask.
Poop. Anyway.
I hated that word ever since I was a kid.
Don't go to what? Poop?
Poop.
Hey, you know what I was thinking
today? Funny to pronounce, but the two P's?
Tangent. Poop. Not related. Yeah, not related. Yeah. What's worse? Shit.
Okay.
Or vomit?
In what context?
Shit.
To clean up?
Ultimately, which is worse?
Shit.
I think shit.
Shit.
I'm going shit.
See, I think vomit.
No, vomit's just gone into your stomach, with mixed around with some stomach acid, and came back out.
Okay.
It's just traveled up your esophagus. Poop?
It's like...
That went through your butthole.
I feel like they're both... They're both...
Shit is
rank. Hey, look. They're both on the same journey, except one stopped halfway and turned around and came back. And that's, like, unnatural to me. I think vomit's worse.
Well,
wait.
That's just...
Are you in the sense of, like, what? Like, cleaning it up? Or, like...
His is bad. It, like, gets everything.
I'm saying to go to the Olympics of badness and rate it on every scale. What's worse to have in your mouth?
Oh.
What's worse to find on the street? What's worse to clean up? What's worse to bring into sexual play in the bedroom? I'm not saying
wins all of them.
I'm not saying vomit wins all of them, but I think if you looked at them all and totaled up all the scores, vomit would be worse.
I don't agree at all.
Yeah. See, shit. It's the great equalizer.
There's nowhere. Hey, vomit. If for only this, vomit can be funny sometimes.
Poop can be funny.
Oh, dude, he's puking. If you shit in front of me, fuck you, I'm leaving the end.
Yeah, right.
I'm going
there,
home.
There are so many jackass skits where people are shitting in front of you and you're laughing.
And it's
game
over.
Because we're not there. If you're there, when shit is out of water, it smells instantly.
There's vomit, like, smells too.
Yeah, but not as pungent. Yeah.
I've been in a car when somebody vomited and everybody in the car wanted to vomit. It smelled so bad.
Well, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Anyways, you know, I was just thinking about this. I don't think there is one true answer. Some people say shit. Some people, I say vomit. A lot of people in the chat.
I say jelly.
I'm a vomit lover.
Actually, I'd say the chat is about split, a little heavier towards vomit.
I want girls to get sick, and I get sexually attracted to that.
Well, there you go.
Do you remember?
I got you. Yeah.
I want to say thanks again to our sponsor, Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
LootCrate.com.
Hey, what's coming in the crate this month? I'm afraid to ask.
We may have just hinted.
Next month, Loot Crate's the Metaphiliac's choice. Get it there. LootCrate.com.
Get it there.
What do you put in? Mega64 podcast.
Mega64.com/LootCrate. Sorry, no. LootCrate.com.
Jesus.
LootCrate.com/Mega64. But don't forget, put in the code, offer code Mega64, or else they won't put a little extra in your box.
Unless maybe vomit, maybe shit, we don't know. We'll see you next month.
But it's going to be
good. It's going to be.
Hey, what we've done, I hope Loot Crate thanks us for this plug, because we've lowered the expectations as far, literally, they think they're going to get a box of shit. So now when they get it, and it's not, and it's a great collectible, or a shirt, or something like that, they're going to be stoked. Yeah.
Hey, also, vomit is, like, more rare. You know, you see shit, that doesn't necessarily mean you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
You see vomit, that's a bad day.
Having a bad day.
If it's your own vomit, it's a bad day. So, lots of things to consider.
Or you had a great night. It could go either way.
Usually, vomit on a sidewalk is the sign of a great night on the walk home.
It's true.
Hey, I wanted to, so anyway, going back, I want to say thanks to everybody for the kind words on the Kutaragi's Way commentary. I can't, or a documentary, whatever. I can't wait for you guys to see the next video. We're putting it up, and again, we're putting it up tomorrow morning, so I'm really excited.
Oh, shit.
I'm really, really stoked about that, and I'm stoked, once again, everybody, come see us at PAX. I'm excited about that, too. I wanted to talk about, speaking of PAX and video games and all that stuff, I think we all played some games probably this week.
Oh, yeah, I played a game.
Can we talk about, a little bit about that? What'd you play?
You played...
Something. I had a chance to play a little bit of South Park Stick of Truth RPG. A lot of people have already played it.
Yes, I wanted to say I beat it a couple days ago.
Cool.
He already beat it. Today, I think.
Damn. Wow, that's fast.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Yeah, Sean, you're slow on that game.
So what day are you on?
I just started day 3. I gotta play.
That's the last day.
I gotta wait for everyone to fall asleep before I play it.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I was thinking that when I was playing that game, I thought to myself, like, Sean can only play this for a small window.
Yeah,
because you have kids, every other word is like fucker.
Yeah, I can't play that in front of the kids, and the volume is very important. To that
you don't
game.
Want? Yeah, Beckett will start calling you a fucker.
I don't want that.
True. I don't want that either.
Yeah,
it's true.
I don't want that for you.
Thank you.
You'd have to slap him in the mouth.
If I play like I can sneak an hour here, or whatever. So that's how I play. Ideal.
Yeah, so I talked to these guys about it. I am definitely enjoying South Park Stick of Truth. I think it's an awesome game. My only complaint, small complaint, which I made to these guys, they disagreed. I don't think it is worth the price of a $60 AAA level full price game. But that's not to say I feel gypped or ripped off. But I personally feel like that price is a little bit high for the game.
Really?
And what was your reason for that?
I was talking to these guys. I think that if you're a South Park fan, the game is definitely going to be very satisfying for you. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the South Park fan you are, the more you're going to like it. But if you are... I like South Park, but I'm not a rabid fan. I don't watch every episode. There are entire seasons that I haven't seen. I like South Park. But I felt like there were just some video game mechanics that as somebody who plays a lot of video games, I was disappointed. And with a game being produced by Ubisoft, I felt like you guys make such classic games.
They didn't have anything to do with it. They just sold it.
Oh, really? They distributed it? Okay.
Obsidian made it.
I just... My major complaint, my only legitimate complaint with the game, I feel like the UI, the user interface, is a little bit shoddy.
Yeah, and I do agree. I do agree with
that. Yeah, they don't explain the controls very well, and there's just not much to the user interface. In addition to that, I feel like the level layout, the fact that they've mapped out South Park and where all the houses are is very cool and very charming, especially, again, if you're a fan of South Park and you want to explore that. But when you're playing a video game... you know, the level design should be very intuitive. And there are parts in South Park where you feel like you can walk through this or explore this, and you can't. Like, a bush will block you, or the map is just a little misleading in that way. So there are... I think you put it best when you said there's symptoms of it being their first game.
It definitely has my first video game written on it. Yeah, I completely agree with all those things.
Can you go into Tom's rhinoplasty?
You can change your appearance.
You can make yourself look very different.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Hey.
Yeah.
But then some areas would appear to be blocked.
No, it's just like you're exploring South Park, and so it's literally like the game has things hidden all throughout it. Like you can collect the Chin Pokemon all throughout it.
Yeah.
And stuff. So there's this they promote exploration, and you know, this is Stan's house. Why don't you go into Stan's room and you can explore and open up his closet and find all this stuff in there? But some areas. There are just some invisible walls, and it's just kind of a confusing layout. Just the level design sometimes is not as intuitive. It looks like you'd be able to explore areas that you wouldn't be able to go, and it's just that. It's just little – I mean, they're not huge mistakes.
Yeah.
I noticed some stuff like that, like in the Castlevania 2, the Lords of Shadow 2, level design issues where, yeah, there was a couple, like, odd invisible wall, kind of, like, hard to navigate level stuff. Too.
Well, I think that happens. That's especially weird, though, for Castlevania, because that is a AAA, you know, big time, whatever.
True. First time they've ever gotten to this open world map, though.
But that's exactly what I think we're all talking about here is that there are definitely. In bringing up all that stuff, I told Derek, like, I felt like it was worth $60 completely. But we're approaching it from different sides, and there are definitely things. I agree. Once Derek told me all his reasons, I agreed with all of them. I think there are a lot of things that are, like, yeah, my first video game. User interface is not good. And I will say, Sean and I agree on this, too. We talked about it as well. The fart controls in the game are really not articulated well. There were so many moments where, oh, I'm going to teach you a new thing to do with farts. Oh, okay. I don't know what... I'm doing exactly what you're telling me. What is this? And they don't articulate it well. And I had to have my brother come in and, oh, no, you got to do this. Oh, duh. It's not explained very well. But these are all things... At first, I fought... When you were saying, like, yeah, maybe it's worth it for you because you're a South Park fan, I disagreed with that. I was like, no, I think it's a good game in general. But there are a lot of things that I am lenient with because... It's such a thorough South Park experience that, hey, if the menus aren't that great, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. And that's definitely
I'm forgiving all that because that's what you're paying for. Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, I will say for me, it was worth $60. Yeah. But I see where you're coming from,
if you don't know anything about South Park, you're not going to enjoy looking in the closet. In Cartman's closet, there's an Osimo costume.
Yeah.
You can't interact with it. There's no loot to get out of the closet. It's just a bunch of references.
Yeah.
So. The bigger the South Park fan you are, the better the game is. Because honestly, I'm not saying I'm not a South Park fan. I am, and this is essentially like a season of South Park, or maybe a half a season of South Park that is starring you. And for that reason, it's really good.
Yeah, and for me, and why I said that $60 was worth it for me is that when I beat it, I didn't really do a lot of the side stuff, and I beat it at 12 hours. And there's more I could have done. So let's say, 15 or more? And I mean, 15 plus hours of new South Park was worth $60 to me.
Yeah,
you know, for me, I'll buy a season of it for 30. So to me, 15 hours of it.
I feel like they had to charge like a full retail price.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't give it such a high score because of some of the game mechanics that fell short.
But you know, they also had it on sale recently for $40. So.
Really?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the perfect price.
Yeah. Speaking of sales, today I read that Target is trying to sell Xbox Ones with Titanfall and a year of Xbox Live for $50 off. It's like $450.
$450, yeah.
They're trying to blast those Xbox Ones.
Amazon was selling? Amazon was selling.
I don't know. I imagine they're selling.
I only know... Do you have an Xbox One?
No.
Dominic does.
Okay,
my brother-in-law does.
Considering Dominic and your brother-in-law, I know three people
Barbara
who have an Xbox.
One.
So that's four.
I know
that's
a lot more people who have the PS4, that's for sure.
Me too.
Yeah. But that's kind of our friends and our fans and our group of viewers, I think, all lean towards PS4.
I guess that's true.
I was going to say, Amazon was also selling one with some card game. I don't know the
Forza?
Name of it. Forza, maybe?
Yeah.
For like $3.99.
Hey, wow. No, don't fall for that. Forza sucks. Forza
sucks. You're here first. Need for Speed.
But they're really trying to move Xboxes.
Out.
Yeah.
I want to play Titanfall, so I was like...
I do, too.
I'm romancing the idea, but I got to wait for something else.
They showed footage today of the 360 one. They streamed it live.
Oh, okay.
It's not 60 frames a second. They're keeping it to 30.
Okay.
But other than that, it looked good.
If it's the same experience, I'll get that and I'll be fine with
it. Yeah,
but
I think I'm going to get it.
The fact that it's been kind of delayed, well, not delayed, but it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And they haven't shown a lot of it. It makes me worry. So
but
once the reviews are out, we'll see. And then I'll
what I didn't know is, you know who's doing it? So they put Titanfall on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's out. Bluepoint, the company that does all these HD
Metal Gear remakes,
and all those great HD remakes, they gave Titanfall to them and make it run on an Xbox.
So
they're the ones doing it. So I have a feeling it'll probably be
cool.
Good. Anyway, so I'm excited about that. Did you play anything else?
No.
Okay.
Nothing new.
I was going to say I beat South Park, and having beat it, I really enjoyed it. It's just so well written. I mean, enough said.
Yeah.
It was Matt Stone and Trey Parker, so it's great. So anyway, I really, really, really enjoyed it, and that's the kind of game I will go back and get every single thing.
Yeah, me too.
I will definitely do that. Played that. I've been playing, what I'm really on now is Final Fantasy X HD remaster. Now, what I really want to... Now, it's funny because I didn't have a super positive opinion of this way back when I played it, which was 10 years ago at this point. That game always came off, and I've talked about it a thousand times, real froofy to me. Just Final Fantasy always kind of had a dark edge. Not literally dark, like, you know, Gotham City shit, but the stories always had kind of a grim edge to them, and like, you know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but they were always like real, you know, they'd be kind of lighthearted, but then they would take it like something real dark would happen in the storyline. It was always, you know, just kind of they always had an edge to them. I don't know if I've explained that well at all, but Final Fantasy X was very like, everything looks like, you know, the gift shop, the rainforest gift shop at Caesar's Palace, and it's, you know, and the cadence of how the rhythm at which everyone talks would drive me up a wall. I feel
like it came out like around Y2K when there was this era of like positivity and like new world unity. I just remember it like it was just almost. I feel like everybody was just like watching a big soccer game, being happy, and that was like the theme of that era. Final Fantasy.
And Final Fantasy X, the way they talk, there's just enough space between every sentence that I don't know why it drives a fucking stake into my brain. When they talk, it's this. Yuna's at the temple praying for the faith. Maybe we should join her.
Yeah.
Not such a good idea. Why's that? I don't know if that's such a good idea to ever go in when somebody's praying. I've got all kinds of summons to show her. Just talk. Guys, let's get this information out. And it drives me insane. So, playing
first,
it now.
First Final Fantasy that had voice acting.
Yeah, it was.
And that was kind of...
Mixed bag for me.
For me, too. At the time when it came out, I wasn't sure I wanted the RPG characters to have their own voice, because I was providing that previously.
Yeah. So, now that it's 10 years later, or however much, everything that I felt is just amplified. That stuff annoys me more than ever. I think the story is such bullshit in that game.
You were looking forward to this for so long.
But no. But here's the thing is, back then I enjoyed the gameplay.
Yeah.
I enjoy it more than ever now.
Really?
I don't think I totally understood. You know, I was 18 thinking, oh, I'm so smart. I don't think I really understood how to maximize my time in that game.
Yeah.
The gameplay is fun. I love the sphere. I love the sphere grid. Everyone in the chat's telling me I'm wrong every time I talk about Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, you're wrong. Hey, I'll tell you too. You're wrong.
Sean says I'm wrong now.
Eric just called. He said you're wrong.
The sphere grid is so much fun to use. The battle system, they give you every piece of information ahead of time. You're going to attack twice, but then they're going to attack you. Super fun. So I'm really enjoying playing it, but I'm laughing my ass off at the story. And one thing they did in this HD remake that is so funny... They spent a ton of time on the character models.
Yeah.
Now that it's in HD, make the character models look really good.
Yeah.
So they actually touched them all up for the main characters.
That's the one thing I've noticed.
Yeah.
Oh,
for the main characters.
The main characters.
And not the NPCs.
Oh my god.
So,
no way.
You'll be talking, and Titus looks really good, and Yuna looks really good, and then you gotta go talk to your cousin Ricky, or whatever. You'll talk to him, it is a square head guy with a smile. I mean, spread across this cube of a head. We're going to play Blitzball later. It looks like you live among aliens. They look like fucking aliens.
You and your friends are all beautiful and everyone else
looks like everyone looks like a PS3 game surrounded by PS1 characters.
Oh,
and it's just
weird.
Like, what am I looking at? Anyway.
That's a weird choice.
They should have worked on the NPCs. I know it sounds whatever, but it looks like you live in fucking alien
nation.
That's
a budget thing.
Yeah, but whatever. Hey, it's fun to play, and what I have to praise real quick is... The fact that I have a PS3 copy at home, but I bought the Vita version, and the save file goes between them effortlessly.
Yeah.
And through the cloud, and I pick it up on either system, and my save is there. It's awesome.
Through effervescence.
So I give them a ton of credit for that above everything else. So it's great. Anyway, I've been really enjoying it, playing it, despite the other stuff I talked about.
Playing them games.
So that's it. That's that. Anything? What have you been playing?
I've been playing more Metal Gear Ground Zeroes.
Oh, yeah. I've gone back to that.
Yeah, I've been jumping in and doing missions on hard now. And I think I only have two more. And I'm at like 54% completion But just going back and having fun in Ground Zeroes still. Yeah. I've been playing... I played some Flower on PS4 the other day. I forgot how pretty that game was. I never finished some of the levels, so I went back and I was finishing some of the other levels.
When it was on PS3, you never played it? Or?
No, I never played on PS3. I waited until PS4, yeah.
Wow.
And then, what else? That's about it. Oh, you know, the Ground Zeroes app on the phone, or like tablet, has, if you at all enjoyed the Mother Base kind of like mission simulator in Ground, or in
Peace Walker,
they have their own version of that in the iDroid app.
Oh, okay.
Or the Metal Gear Ground Zeroes companion app. Mm-hmm. But you can, it's like building up Mother Base, mission management, like building up new Metal Gears, recruiting new troops, all that shit that you did in Peace Walker. That's fun. I've been fucking around with that on my phone. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, there were so many things that came out at once.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a dry summer, I think. So I'm fine with that.
My neck of the woods. Woohoo!
No?
You got a big summer coming?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, we're talking about
wet
games.
Summer. Oh, yeah, I got it. Boys summer, right?
Never mind. I was going to take a dip in the pool.
Summer's Eve.
Summer's Eve. I'm talking about
douche. Makes me feel fine. I was thinking
get that pool water in my mouth.
Get that pool water in his mouth. Anybody?
Watch out for the chlorine.
Bring some pool water.
Don't get any chlorine in your eye.
We're going swimming at pass.
Ew.
Your tongue is That's so fucking gross.
Disgusting.
Ew.
It's like Gene Simmons, ready?
Whoa. You have a big tongue, man.
And I am...
And the thing is about being in Mega 64 is that they say it's not about the money. It's always about the money. And it is about the girls. And that's all there is to it. Anyone else telling you that is lying. And Derek and Sean have shot themselves in the foot many times. I will always be Mega 64.
Yeah, right. I am Paul Stanley, okay? Gene would love me. I'm Paul, you're Gene, so we're tight.
Do your best, Paul Stanley.
Are you having a good time tonight, Mega 64 Podcast?
That's good.
Ow! Now this next song is a song about making love. Imagine this hair was black. Yeah. That'd be a pretty good Paul Stanley.
That would be good.
Imagine this V-neck went down to my navel. That'd be a pretty good Paul Stanley.
Good Gene Simmons. Does that make me Peter Criss?
You could be the Catman, Peter Criss, if you want. That's up to you.
Meow.
Hey,
That makes Sean Ace Frehley. That guy could shred.
He can.
Wow. And then he forgets how to play guitar.
But you did,
Hey, self-taught. Sean, we're the only two mentioned in the Weezer lyrics.
Oh.
Me and you, baby.
Okay.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, in
I
the
want
garage.
To be a Weezer song.
Sorry.
Well, they did mention me.
Beverly Hills. That's where Rocco is.
What?
Remember that? Dumb. Anyway, thank you for that.
Would you have more to say about any games?
No, that's what I was like. What have you been playing?
I thought I played something else, but I can't.
Sean?
Can we all talk?
Sean played South Park.
South Park.
Yeah, still enjoying South Park?
Yeah, absolutely. I disagree with Derek. I think that $60 is fine. But I also don't think people are going to buy a South Park game unless they're a South Park fan.
See, sure. I'm not buying it. I'm probably going to borrow it from one of you guys at some point when there's a dry spell this summer.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Just because I understand the references, but I don't I haven't watched regularly.
You don't watch every season,
No, I haven't watched regularly outside the first six, the first episodes that I watched. But,
But
Eric told me that there's some really old shit that they talk about, which for me is cool. I think that's
awesome. The amount of tie-ins they have in the game and like little
mind-blowing.
Is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And I really...
Is Saddam Hussein in the game?
No.
Well,
really?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I haven't come across him yet.
But it's so much fun.
You know
it's
what? I wanted to say real quick something I forgot to bring up just really quick. I played the BioShock DLC, the Burial at Sea Part 2. And I just wanted to say, I enjoyed the shit out of it every second. The first chapter they released was $15, and I kind of balked at that a little bit. And I normally don't complain about game prices. I felt like, a little light for $15. This one was like getting another BioShock game. You could tell they heard the feedback from that first one and went, okay, here you go. And it was like getting another BioShock game. It was awesome. It did great. It did crazy ass things with the story. I thought the gameplay was different enough, and it was really fun. And I just and the way that it ended blew my mind, and I couldn't wait to get online and talk about it and read what other people had like kind of picked apart from it. And then when I went online, it was all negative. No. All the reviews were this shit all over BioShock. Oh my god, I'll never buy another. Da 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 da. Oh. So hey, I don't know if I'm crazy. I might be
crazy.
You're crazy. I might be crazy because everyone I talked to did not speak positively of it. So
you know.
I really enjoyed it. Some people thought it was trying too hard to do continuity shit.
Yeah.
This tying into this. I love that stuff. I didn't, but I don't know. I'm not like married to BioShock where I can't accept things happening to it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I enjoyed it. Take it for what it's worth.
I really like that continuity expanding stuff.
Yeah.
And that Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 is getting DLC soon.
Oh, really?
That is all... Hey, while you were, like, gone, mm-hmm. your son, Alucard, did all this shit.
And
you get to play it as that character.
Oh, that's cool.
And it ties in all this other stuff to the storyline.
That's cool.
Which, I mean, that game was definitely, like, mediocre, but fuck, I had fun with it. And I played the shit out of it. Hmm. So I'll be getting that DLC.
Cool.
Usually, man, I can't remember the last time I bought DLC that wasn't, like, a Rock Band song.
Yeah.
It might have been for, like...
Yeah.
What was the Dante's Inferno? That might have been like the last like game DLC I got.
Yeah. I don't know if I bought the DLC for Dante's Inferno.
I didn't.
You didn't?
I did not.
Did you play Dante's Inferno?
Yeah,
I love that.
We all did.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, very underrated game.
That was a super fun game. Man, if they made the second one PS4 or whatever,
I don't think they're making a second one.
I don't think
one,
they are. No. But I really like that studio.
They set it up.
They totally did.
It ended on a cliffhanger.
Paradiso.
The studio that made that game is really underrated, and they're really, really good.
Who was that?
God, I'm blanking out on the name. But they also made... didn't they also make Dead Space? What are they called? I forgot their name.
Nobody knows.
No.
I watched a movie recently. I had seen this movie before, a long time ago. In fact, it came out in 1997. I'm sure everybody in this room has seen this movie.
Titanic.
No. This is a notoriously bad movie, Batman and Robin.
Oh, wow.
I rewatched Batman and Robin. I'm not going to say it's good. It's not. But I think...
Visceral.
I think Batman and Robin is so bad, it's actually entertaining to watch.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, so...
I agree with you.
I recently saw that movie listed on a top 10 worst movies ever made list.
Yeah.
But all the clips they were showing, because it was a YouTube video and they were showing clips from all the movies, all the clips they were showing just made me laugh, and I thought to myself, like, hey, I feel like I should give that a watch. And the script and story is such bullshit in Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Everything else rules. Gotham City being filled with neon lights is so, like... See, I feel like people are so used to Christopher Nolan's Batman and it being dark and edgy and real that they...
Or Tim Burton's.
That they kind of discredit all other iterations of Batman. But I feel like Batman and Robin is so good in the same sense that the original 60s live action show is good. Where nobody's taking this fucking seriously.
It was
campy as fuck. Yeah, it's a giant campy joke. They treat it as such. I mean, they make really cheesy jokes in that movie. But I feel like it's a throwback. I feel like Joel Schumacher was just having fun and be like, look, I grew up watching this show. I want to make a movie that is like this show. And, you know, they go to a big South American-themed party, and Uma Thurman and Bane show up dressed in pink gorilla costumes. It's just fucking stupid.
And you know, I got shit for this too, but that's what I was saying when I said that I liked it more than Batman Forever. Is Batman Forever.
I agree.
Batman Forever, I'm glad there's one other... There's probably one other person on my team now, but Batman Forever is this trying to be serious thing, and no one has good character motivation, and I would rather have some fucking circus where no one's taking it seriously than something where I'm trying to really do some serious shit and failing. You know what I mean? So that's why
a lot of people in the chat. Somebody mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think he's fucking great in that movie. I'm a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, and I feel like he is the best part.
Yeah,
that's a good role.
He's the best actor in that movie, which is saying a lot for my whole point. It is so bad, it's good. And Gotham City looks radical in that movie. That's the best part. All the cityscapes are really well done models, and I think it has kind of this look as if almost as if ancient Greek culture never failed. And yeah. it just kept on growing and growing and growing, and Gotham City is the epitome of that. It's all it's these giant statues. The highways are held up by the hands of these colossus statues. Mm-hmm. They're doing car chases down the arms of these things. Mm. I think the city itself is the star of that movie. I would recommend watching it in pieces. You know, watch half an hour. Once it gets really bad and unbearable, because it will, turn it off. Come back to it later, maybe, if you want. But I think if you are just looking for something fun to put on in the background,
yeah.
Check it out.
I've only seen it in clips. I've never seen
the whole way through.
No. Or
hey,
Batman
hey,
Forever.
Don't try to follow the story, and don't expect anything worthwhile from a script.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for, like...
visual...
Hey, if it's one of those nights where you're with a bunch of friends and you're watching Public Access, you know, having a beer and talking a bunch of shit on whatever you're watching, put on Batman and Robin. It is perfect for that.
Yeah. And also, too, I was going to say, when they interviewed... there was a recent, like... it might have been for the Blu-ray or something, but there was a documentary where they talked about the making of each Batman. They talked to Joel Schumacher about it, and he's like, that movie... Batman and Robin was, I was presented, here's the toy deal we have, and here are all the things you need to feature, and that's our movie. And he was like, so to me, I'm making a big, fun toy commercial, and he's like, and what was great is in the interview, he was like, you know, this is where a lot of directors would say, I was forced to do this, I had to do this, I was made to do this. Hey, I was an adult, I knew what I was doing, I saw the money on the table. Yeah. And I had as much fun as I could with it. That's what I did.
I think as a director,
I give him a lot of credit.
As a director, there's actually a scene in the movie where it's a confession to all of that.
Really?
I think there is a scene in Batman and Robin where Joel Schumacher is trying to tell you, look, I know this is a shit movie. You want to know why I did it? Yeah. Here's why. In Batman and Robin, there is an auction where you can bid on most eligible bachelor, like somebody who's going to get a date with Bruce Wayne, and Poison Ivy shows up, and she spreads all these pheromones, and everybody falls in love with her, and Batman and Robin start getting in a bidding war over Poison Ivy. This is, hey, I have a director's eye. I saw the subtext. Batman is like, I bet $1 million. And Robin goes, $2 million. And Batman goes, you don't have that kind of money. $3 million. And Robin goes, I'll borrow it from you. $4 million. And Batman goes, there's literally no limit to what I'll spend. He says something like that.
Yeah.
He pulls out a credit card, and it is a Batman-branded credit card, and the expiration date is forever. He literally pulls out a credit card. He pulls out a credit card called Batman Forever.
I never thought about that.
Okay, so if anybody's wondering what's going on with Joel Schumacher, they gave him the Batman Forever credit card and said there is literally no amount to what you or no
that's
limit
so
to what
funny.
You could spend on this movie.
Wow,
I think that's his admission to what's going on there.
That's awesome.
A little bit of subtext for you.
That's funny.
Never leave the game without it.
Hey, you want to tell a Facebook story? Do you want to do that on the after show, or do you want to do that now?
I'm going to tell it right now.
Okay,
are we okay on time, or are we running out?
We are definitely running low on time, and this story is really good, so I'll just give you
an okay, well, let's end it with that.
Okay, yeah.
What's that?
No, so we should say our goodbye and then have the epilogue be this story, I think.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
No,
goodbye. I got some stuff on there, that Groove Shark.
Real quick. Oh, yeah, what were you going to say about Groove Shark?
No, just check out that Groove Shark. You got the Mega 64 boys. What else?
I lost the... I had a P.O. Box thing. I was
gonna shit.
Shit.
Where did it go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Next week?
No.
What's the,
I got some P.O. Box stuff right here.
Here we go.
First thing we're going to open.
Real quick, we had two things. If you want to send anything to the Mega 64 P.O. Box, send it to Mega 64 P.O. Box 713-090 Santee, California 92072. Both of these things are for Sean.
What?
Yeah.
It is Sean week in the P.O. box.
No way.
First things first, I opened this because it wasn't addressed to you.
That's fine.
It is from our friend Jared. Jared.
What? Sean gets candy?
Jared T.
Jared.
Sean mentioned he liked Jelly Belly when you had a 40-minute discussion on candy a few podcasts ago. Enjoy. From Thorbane 3.
I like Jelly Belly.
There you go.
I fucking love them.
I'm not going to complain because this guy, Jared Thorbane, is really, really devoted listener, viewer.
Beautiful.
He's made a ton of fan art for the Poorly Played stream in the past, and he's making new stuff. He's a good guy. That's cool.
Good dude. And this next thing, I think Sean should open this.
Oh, okay.
I think so. It looks like a package from Threadless.
Just for Sean, a package for from Threadless.
Dude, you don't know.
Is it going to be a mashup?
Yo, hey, we're not sponsored by Threadless. I can say whatever I want. This site sucks. You wear this stuff if you want to look like a fucking idiot. If you want people to look at your shirt and be like, wow, fuck that guy. Shop at Threadless.
Now, Threadless, I want to put a message out. Threadless, if you want us to stop insulting the site, sponsor the podcast.
Sponsor us. Hey, that's the only way Threadless, it's going to stop. Hey, you pay me money, I'll say they're the hottest shirts on earth. Right now, they suck. It's shitwear is the genre of clothes.
Maybe, what two things are you into, Sean? Are they going to mash it up for you?
Maybe this is great.
Let's see.
Is it like a dad shirt mixed with Back to the Future?
What if we put Darth Vader on our shirt?
Awesome.
What if Darth Vader?
Well, probably.
What if Darth Vader rode a bicycle?
Threadless.
We're judging books by its cover.
Look at that. Shirt.
What is that? Oh, that's Gandalf fighting the Monty Python knight.
It's a mashup.
So that's that is exactly what we said.
Okay, all right.
I take it back, everybody.
All right.
Take it back.
It is real.
What about this?
It is real progressive stuff.
What is
that?
Are those Pokemon with?
No, it's Harry Potter.
Holy shit! In two shirts, he got three movie.
But
references.
What's the mashup? Animals.
That ratio is insane.
It's real.
That's it. We got they two mashed out up, of two.
I like. Thank you.
They mashed up Harry Potter with
He's
real life.
Shirts.
Good job.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for watching the podcast tonight. We are going to be, once again, at PAX East this week. Booth shit. What is it?
Booth shit. I'd rather booth vomit shit. In the booth than shit.
Hey, come by our booth. If you're in Boston, come by our booth.
And shit there.
If you have a pass to PAX, come by our booth. Say hello. We'll sign some things for you. We'll take a photograph. It'd be really nice to meet all of you. It'd be nice for all of you to meet us. It's an experience you will never forget.
Come to our panel.
Panel for Real Connect Gamers.
It's at 7 p.m. on Saturday of PAX East.
Saturday night. I don't want to hear anybody saying there's nothing to do.
We have a Sunday badge.
Nothing to do Saturday night in Boston. That's not fucking true. Mega 64 panel.
And just to reiterate, I don't know if you still have the graphics, but we are going to have the Onslaught shirt.
Yeah, it is.
And the we changed the name. The Skeezit shirt. The Digital Surfer shirt and the exclusive Internet Soldiers Elite shirt. And every sale over $20 gets the Kutaragi 8x10 print special edition.
Unless you show up and we arrange a certain deal where we just give you one.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably not going
to
happen.
That's not. Good luck to you. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So come see us at PAX and check out our new video tomorrow. And go to shop.mega64.com, buy some merchandise, support the podcast.
Go to Loot Crate, use the Mega64 special code word Mega64, and have a good night.
And have a great night. Now, we end on a parting note. Ladies and gentlemen, I promised it weeks ago, and I will deliver the dumbest fucking thing I've ever read on Facebook. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, but nothing will protect them from what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here it is. This is a fan of ours. This happened.
Goes by the name of Pat.
Tonight, while out walking with Becky and her dog in Astoria Park, I came across a bunch of 2-liter bottles. They were full and appear unopened. One of which was a Fuse iced tea. So I took it. As you can imagine, it wasn't tea in that bottle. And yes, I did ingest a tiny bit of whatever it was. Later that night, I went back to the park to properly dispose of the other bottles that were left. They were all the same, smelled worse than the first bottle. Yes, I should have known better, but I was thinking more about the idea of a free 2-liter beverage than the idea of some sick individual filling bottles with something else, be it urine or some other waste. I feel fine, by the way.